Just like the Cougar football team, Ben Criddle was built, not born. And since 2009, he's built himself into the go-to source on the radio and online for all things BYU. This is Cougar Sports with Ben Criddle on ESPN 960 and ESPN960Sports.com.
Welcome back, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. This is Cougar Country. I'm Ben Criddle, broadcasting live from our Wasatch Medical Clinic, wasatchmedicalclinic.com studios. A little ACDC bringing us back from the break. That's our band of the day, always brought to you by RoyalArmyBrand.com. BYU Swagger to buy fans for fans. Back in black. That's right. The blackout is coming back, and make sure you rep the Y. In blackout fashion, BYU football put out the tweet, said, hey, this is the one time that you're not supposed to wear royal. You're supposed to wear black. So get your royal or your Royal Army brand blackout collection today. What's your favorite piece, Double D, from the blackout collection?
The tee, simple tee, man. It's got the, like the Raider sort of vibe going.
Oh, yeah, the Cougars.
That one's pretty cool.
Yeah, it is pretty
like
cool.
That one.
Yeah, it is nice. It is nice. Go to RoyalArmyBrand.com and purchase some of your blacked out swag. We're working overtime at Royal Army Brand to fulfill on every single one of your orders so you have them prior to kickoff when you head out to Vegas. All right, let's get out to the hotline. Welcome in former BYU great. John Beck is on the line, 3DQB, 3DQB.com. What's up, John?
Ben, what's going on? How are you?
I'm good, man. Hey, what's your favorite piece of Royal Army brand swag? Do you have one?
I do. You know, it's not black. Sorry. It's not red. I have a good black shirt, but my favorite is actually, you know, that royal blue hoodie that you sent me a couple years back with, like, what do they call it? Like the something digger Coug, where he's, like, reaching down into the Y or the U?
Yeah, the beat digger.
Beat digger, yeah, dude. It's like my most favorite, comfortable. I always wear it, and it reminds me. I might have even said it on the show already, but when I was a kid, my dad, so he was on the BYU track team, and he had this old gray sweatshirt that had been washed thousands of times, and it was that logo across the front of it. And when I first got back from my mission, I found it in a drawer, and I used to wear it all the time. And there's just like this feeling that I remember when I put on my Royal hoodie that you sent me. It's like the material feels like it's been washed a thousand times, and it's got that old school logo, so it's my favorite.
Love that, man. Hey, check out the rest of the website. We haven't gotten you any new swag. Maybe we'll get some blackout gear. Are you heading out to Vegas this weekend?
I wish I could. I actually got invited by Sports Nation to go out there and be a part of the show, but we have youth football games going on, so I'm not going to be able to make it out for the game.
Oh, good. John Beck on the line, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. John, what did you make of the game versus Utah State? What were your main takeaways from that game?
Well, so the interesting thing, like once again, Jaron, I thought, performed really, really well. I think he's done a tremendous job this year of, regardless of the situation, regardless of the game, is it close, is it not, like, he's just been performing at a really high level. I honestly expected it to be a game that BYU ran away with early, especially because it looked like there was a chance of it. Here's the thing. And I know that there's some people because, I have Twitter, and I get to see all the things that pop up on Twitter or that gets reposted by friends of mine or people that I follow that follow the team, right? And I know that there was, like, disappointment in some areas, that it shouldn't have been that close, the team shouldn't have been able to run like that on us, that there was questions about the game plan. So, like, I usually only talk about quarterbacks, but, like, here's the thing. Like, here's my takeaway. In a football season, very rarely do you game plan exactly right every single game. There's a lot of games where all of a sudden you go in anticipating something, whether from the offensive side of the ball, defensive side of the ball, and all of a sudden the other team has thrown a complete curveball. And I learned that lesson as a young quarterback at BYU when I'm trying to be ultimately prepared, and all of a sudden, holy crap, you have to prepare for the things that you don't know. And that's where experience comes in. So, look, from the offensive standpoint, I saw a lot of really good things. Once again, a lot of guys stepped up. It was great to see Gunner back in the game. It was great to see BYU jump out to a lead early, right? Like you were there during our era. There was a big thing on starting fast. And all of a sudden, you know, boom, BYU starts fast. They got some good things going. And I know that there's what some people can feel like a lull, or some people wish BYU would have run away with the game. But at the end of the day, they found a way when the game was somewhat close to then run away with it at the end. And to me, that's also a trait of a really good football team. There's always going to be those games that weren't necessarily supposed to be close. And for whatever reason, whether the offense not clicking, the defense having a wrinkle thrown, and all of a sudden they can't stop the run, whatever it may be, the team still found a way at the end to win the game in solid fashion and move forward with a positive.
So, John, give me your perspective on once again, I know I've asked you this question before, but I'm going to ask it again. How difficult is it at the collegiate level, at the high school level, to implement changes schematically from a personnel standpoint, maybe alignment standpoint, offensively or defensively prior to halftime?
Yeah, I mean, this is where experience really comes in. I think that if you have a coordinator and he's had guys that have been in other games where they've had to make similar adjustments, you can draw upon that past experience with those players that you've been with. You've done it with them before or at practice. Hey, if we ever have a team that does this, we need to prepare for them by doing this. Experience also is the greatest thing that you can have on your side, because usually that means somebody's learned a hard lesson already. And that can go with coaches as well. You know, we talk all about, like, is it hard, you know, to make in-game adjustments? Coaches have to do the same thing. If they lack the experience to make the adjustment, then it becomes hard on the players, because now they're trying to make plays in a game that the person that's supposed to be putting them in the position to make a play may not have the experience to do it. So it's really experience on both ends. But yes, it's hard on the collegiate level, because you don't have, what you have is you have somebody upstairs that's trying to usually draw a picture. They like they're not taking snapshots, right? They're trying to jot down really quick what's happening. And then they're trying to relay that by words. And then at halftime, they can go down with all those drawings and they can say, hey, look, here's what's happening. And I think I said it before in the game, mm-hmm. that nowadays with the, you know, YouTube TV, I know of players and teams that they run down at halftime and they try to quickly pull up whatever they can on the internet. Like, let's see what's going on as quick as we can, yeah. because we got to make some adjustments. So I do think the collegiate level of the three levels, high school, college, and pros, it is the most difficult to make those quick adjustments just because of how little information, like via technology, you have to utilize to make those adjustments.
John, there was a spot in the first quarter where through like two or three different series, Jaron was 12 of 14 passing the ball. When you get into a groove like that, what is it like, and what are some of the factors that lead to being able to get that consistent and that efficient?
Yeah, as I watch Jaron right now, the number one thing that stands out, you can almost, and it's funny, I get this question asked a lot when I'm like watching games with friends, right? Like people in my neighborhood or ward, they're like, how do you know when a quarterback is seeing things clearly? How do you know when it's on? Because sometimes I'll just kind of blurt out, someone's open, like it's there. And I don't know the concept of what's happening, but you can tell by the player's feet, his body control, and his head. Is something just kind of slightly throwing him off, or is he absolutely in rhythm, seeing it clear, and cutting it loose? You can tell when you've worked with the guy long enough how he's throwing it. And so the thing I think that stands out, number one, first and foremost, Jaron understands the offense completely of what it's trying to accomplish, what binds people are being put in, where the outlets are. You can tell it's a guy that's been in the system. He got to be in the system as a young player, then he got to compete for a backup spot, got to play in games when Zach went down, got to watch a guy have an unbelievable season in the same offense. He got to watch the coordinator grow with the players and also how the coordinator utilized different players. He's had a great kind of like perspective on all this, or like an area to view it all. And then all of a sudden, okay, it's my turn. Now I get to go out there and I get to put my little wrinkle and twist on this. And so as I watch Jaron, the number one thing is understanding. His feet, his eyes, his body show he absolutely understands what this offense is trying to accomplish. The second thing that I think stands out, when he makes some of the throws to some of his guys, he understands the player's strength. He's throwing balls that he knows, I know my guy can make this. Like, I'm going to use a throw that he had to Isaac Rex. And this was actually, I'm going to go back 2 weeks to the Wyoming game along the sideline. Like, he absolutely understood where that ball needed to be to give Isaac a chance. It wasn't because the play was completely open. It's because he understood the type of ball that Isaac has an opportunity to make a play on. And what's happening right now is if you go to percentage throws and you look at the high percentage that BYU is having on lower percentage throws, that's also something that stands out. So when a player's doing that, when they're able to take shots, make throws on low percentage throws, but complete a high percentage of them, They understand the personnel. They understand their guys. And so to me, those are the two biggest things that are jumping out right now of why Jaren's able to be so successful and why he's having these strings where, and Ben, I believe you and I were talking about this after one of the games. Like statistically, we're looking at very minimal incompletions, and some of those incompletions are throwaways or a spike of the ball before trying to clock the, like, stop the clock. Like, yep. Those are most of his incompletions right now. And so that just means he's playing at such a high level because he understands things at such a high level.
John Beck on the line, Cougar Sports, ESPN 960. John, I keep on getting this question, right? So I got this from a former player that played back in the day. He said this. I wonder what you think about this. We had end zone seats for the Oregon game, so I had a good view of the field. I kept telling my wife, tight end over the middle is wide open. Finally, we threw the ball to Rex over the middle for a touchdown, and then never came back to it. There's this idea out there, I guess is what I'm getting, that we don't throw over the middle to tight ends. And, you know, I think there's an answer to this. Like, I respond typically with, well, last year and the year before, Neil Pau played somewhat of that flex Y position, running some of those benders, so those climb routes, those over the middle routes, and somehow both Zach Wilson and Jaren Hall found him. Maybe they're not targeting that position as much because of the personnel rather than the actual scheme or the intent of the play. Your thoughts?
Well, so Neil's route that he was getting all the time is a little bit different. That's a little different than just taking the middle. That's having a feel for the zone. A lot of teams, they start those type of plays. So it's a mirrored route concept, which basically means outside you're getting the same concept. Each receiver's running a comeback route, an out route, a stem route, which is a 14-yard stop route. You're getting the same route on the outside, and what you're doing is the inside guy is basically reading. It's the middle open, which means two high safeties. It's the middle closed, one high safety. If the middle's closed with one high safety, you then have an opportunity to kind of, some teams will call it bend and float between the backers. Some teams will kind of call it a hunt. I want you to snap it off and hunt behind that Sam backer. So when you look at those things that Neil was getting, those were mirrored route calls that then they got the coverage that they wanted, knowing this fits. Neil has such a good feel for the inside. So it wasn't necessarily like, oh, we are doing this to absolutely take advantage of the inside. They're calling a play that then, as the defense expands to try to cover the outside, you can then come inside and work that inside route. Here's the thing about offensive football. There's always going to be things you do not do. Every offense around the country, no matter the level, has things that they do not do. And it's very easy to sit in the stands or watch and say, man, this team doesn't do this. And if they did, I bet that might be there. That's the tricky thing about play calling. That's the tricky thing about establishing your offense. You can't do everything. And especially at the collegiate level, when you have kids that have to go to class, kids that have exams and finals, you have to say, what is going to be our identity and what are we going to do really, really well? And then what are going to be our wrinkles here and there? And you have to take some things off of the table. And I don't think it's because of somebody's inability to do it. I don't think it's because, we don't have the personnel to do it. There may be a comfort level with Jaren because of, hey, this is what I like. And now I don't know that. I hope that, like, nobody takes that, like, I've had any conversations with him about him. I haven't. I'm speaking more on general terms of football because I know other quarterbacks around the country at the professional and college level where they want their coach asks for feedback. What do you like? They may not put that in there in terms of what they like the most. And I don't know if that's happening or not. I don't get into those things with Aaron or the quarterbacks, but I'm just kind of saying a general rule of football. But I do think, hey, BYU right now is working at such a high level with what they're doing. I think that they can continue that. And then as the season goes, you can see little wrinkles that will attack certain things on the defense. And although there might be a play here or there that it could be there, inevitably, no matter what tape you're watching, no matter what game you're at, there's always going to be somebody running open that if the quarterback just would have seen him, that would have been an easy completion.
Yeah, I love that perspective that only John can give. John Beck here on ESPN 960. BYU has been getting beat up, obviously, in the first half. And then second half, they flip the script. That has a lot to do with, I think, great coaching. In order to beat Notre Dame, though, it seems like they're going to have to put it all together. And so tell me a little bit about self-scouting and projecting as to what the opponent may want to accomplish in a game like this heading into it. How can you foresee maybe what the opposition wants to execute versus your defensive or offensive scheme?
Okay, so I'll tell you this. At the NFL level, you have coaches that their job is to scout your own team. Basically, what are we doing that is going to show up as tendencies that the other team is going to try to capitalize on, or they're going to try to stop us from doing? And so a lot of these coaches are former assistants and former head coaches themselves, and you know they call them analysts, right? But every week, the offensive and defensive coordinators get a booklet of self-scout that says, as of this point in time, these are your tendencies. Like last year when I was with the Jets, we used to sit down and we would get a booklet like of the defense that we were facing, what their tendencies are, and then we were also going to get something that was ours, our own tendencies. Right now, out of this personnel group, out of this formation, 87% of the time, this is what we're doing. And then so in the game plan, you have to do things to break those tendencies. You also do things to capitalize on those tendencies because you anticipate, I bet because our tendency is so high, this is what they could potentially do. And if they are potentially doing that to stop us, here is how we want to counter it. That's why it's a chess game and it's not checkers, right? They're going to potentially move this piece and you're saying, all right, well, if they're going to potentially move this piece, then this is what we're going to do to prepare for it. And that's why sometimes some game plans, they work so well. And other game plans, when you try to anticipate what the opponent's doing and they don't, okay, now we got to adjust. But here's what I would say. A team like Notre Dame is going to look at how they match up. And they're going to say, across the board right now, BYU is winning in a lot of one-on-one matchups. And it doesn't mean it's man coverage. It's meaning when the ball's in the air. Like if I were scouting BYU, I would say, right now, the quarterbacks are throwing a high percentage of balls that are giving their players an opportunity to make a play. Very rarely do you see Jaron miss a guy overshooting him downfield because he's trying to throw the perfect ball. We are throwing balls that drop on players a lot of the time, our tight ends as well, to give them a shot. So they're going to identify, how do we match up? We cannot put ourselves in a position defensively that even if our schemes are not man schemes, but as the play kind of develops and we end up in what's called kind of like match concepts, where when a player enters your zone, you'll then match him. Do we have the personnel to match up to make the play on the ball? The other thing that BYU does is they throw a lot of balls that are designed for a specific receiver. They use motions. They use action in the backfield, and they're trying to get the ball out with a couple lead blockers. You see it on shallow routes. You see it on swing routes. They're going to say, what are we going to do to stop those 7 to 9 completions a game that do not require a read? The quarterback's not reading anything. It's a built-in action, balls out, action, balls out. Motion, we got numbers. If we have numbers, we take the throw. If we don't have numbers, we give the run. What are we going to do to stop those 7 to 9 throws every game where we're not forcing the quarterback to make a read? Because if you can do that, it then puts them in a 3rd and long where now, more often than not, you got to read something out.
Hey, John, Zach Wilson back on the field for the Jets this weekend. Tell us about your evaluation of his play and the game-winning drive for him.
Yeah, I was so happy for how the game ended. To have those two drives, I want to say that I think Zach was like 10 of 12 or 12 of 14 for like a 100-something yards, like there to finish the game. I mean, that's huge right there. Without diving into too much detail, Zach and I got to spend some time together over the last few weeks out there. We got to have a lot of discussions about what this is going to be like coming back, right? And so I'm so proud of him for battling through the rough start, the bumps in the road for the first three quarters. That was going to happen. And I'm just so proud of the dude for the way that he finished the game, for the way that he stayed in it mentally, and how he was able to finish strong. I think that right there is a mark of just a true champion and competitor. Like, the NFL is tough. And to be off of the field for that long, to come back in, have a week of practice, and jump out there, go on the road, and play, like, it was almost inevitable that there was going to be those bumps in the road. And I'm glad that the Jets just said, all right, we're going to roll with you because you're our guy, and we know that there's going to be those. And so to have all that stuff happen and have him finish that way, and he actually made a comment that I can't remember where I caught it. I think maybe like in his presser, like something popped up on my Twitter where he said he felt really comfortable those last two drives. I just love that, because that I think is really going to catapult him into these next few games.
Yeah, he was extremely efficient on that in that fourth quarter, and that's where you get paid, right? I mean, the best quarterbacks in the league perform the best in the fourth quarter.
Yeah, and you know what? And tough to do when things don't go your way, right? Like that second interception, I think it was the second one that went off the guy's hands. Like, those are those ones that as a quarterback, you're just like, I went to the right spot. I saw things clearly. Ball was a little high as I'm trying to go fast. Like, there's times that ball's caught, right? And all of a sudden, boom, pops up in the air, interception. And you're just sitting there like, oh, crap, you know? And so to just stay in it, right? And I think the cool thing that's happening at the Jets right now is like the team, their two wins have been wins when they've had to score twice at the end of a game in the fourth quarter. I think that builds in your team. Like, I think because of the Browns win, I think this team stayed in it to win this game. Overall, offense, defense, all phases of the game because of that Jets game. And then it's cool because those things can build on your team. Now, no matter what team they play this year, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if they're down by 10. It doesn't matter what they're down by, how much time's left. In their mind, we've done it before. We can claw back and win this thing. So it's cool because you don't put so much pressure on yourself for all those other quarters, which can sometimes happen when you have lost some games. Like, I've been on teams, crap, I've been the starting quarterback for teams where you feel there's like this feeling that you get down early. Now it's like we cannot make any mistakes right now because that will just get us down more. And it's on both sides of the ball. And that's a really tough situation to play in when you're playing to not make mistakes because you feel like any mistake now negates an opportunity to win. The Jets know, and Zach knows, hey, it may not go perfect for the first three quarters, but we have the ability to come back and win when we need to.
John Beck, you're on ESPN 960. Last thing for you, because you brought up, we were talking Zach Wilson. I had one of the BYU fans was comparing and contrasting Jaren Hall and Zach Wilson and debating who would you take, right, as your quarterback. And it made me think about the commonalities between the two, how they were raised, their genetic foundations of two athletic parents, right, the culture of competition and of excellence that came within the home, and then, you know, high school coaching, who they're getting coached up by, and then also college football coaching, A-Rod, and then also combining what A-Rod does and Fessy do with what 3 QB does. And I said, that's a great recipe for success when you factor in all three or four of those facets. Maybe that's the way to become an NFL draft pick.
Well, I don't know if there's a perfect equation to become an NFL draft pick. I think that the quarterback position by nature attracts the most competitive people. I think having multi-sport athletes, which both Jaren and Zach are, they could excel. They excelled in other sports and potentially both. Well, one did play two sports in college and the other could have, if he wanted, chosen the other sport and played basketball in college because he was athletically that good of a player. I think those things go into it. I think there is something about both of them coming up under A-Rod and the offense that A-Rod has built for them. You do see similarities also in, like, decision-making. I know they're both athletic when they can take off with the ball. It's a little bit different style between the two of them, but both are both fast-twitch guys. And you know what? And for me on my end, that's why it's cool to work with both those guys. They're both special. I think that, you know, all the comparisons, that's always for the fans because – Wait, when you try to compare one quarterback who's quarterbacking one team with a guy that quarterbacked a completely different team and with a completely different schedule, it doesn't always line up, right? And that's why, like, comparisons are for the radio shows, the talk shows, and the fans, because nothing's ever the exact same. Yes, the offensive coordinator was the same, but I know the scheme behind the play calling, the design of some of the things, it's not exactly the same for both those guys. And it's always going to be like that in sports. The cool part is one, excelled, did a great job, was able to be a super high draft pick. The guy playing right now is showing signs of excelling. He's doing a really good job. His big thing now is going to be just stay consistent. He's been super consistent so far this year. The big thing is going to be, and I think the Oregon game could be a big help of this. I don't know how the Notre Dame's going to play out. But let's just say to start the game, things don't start out as good as they would have liked. Right? And all of a sudden, oh, you're down by 7 points. You're down by 10 points. I think there's a lot to learn from that Oregon game on Jaren's part and how he stayed in his game. He didn't try to overdo things. He didn't try to force balls. He just stayed there. And although the Oregon game was not the outcome, what Jaren chose to do as his process was the correct one. That's the one that gives you the best chance. And if for some reason they get a little bit behind in this Notre Dame game, I think that experience, and maybe for the entire team, will help them fight back into a game against Notre Dame. And for that, I'm just super pleased because Jaren's poise is always going to be a big asset to the team.
John Beck, ladies and gentlemen, follow him on Twitter, and make sure if you have any quarterbacks within the walls of your home, you want to become the best quarterback that they can be, send them out to 3D QB. Thanks so much, John. Appreciate you joining us today.
Of course, you guys. Have a good one. We'll see you.
John Beck, ladies and gentlemen. Double D, any thoughts, any commentary?
John is somebody who, you know, when he was going to BYU and he would answer questions after games or during interviews, you got the feeling it was a little bit different for him than most of the kids that we talked to. And he's been able to utilize the skills that he picked up in college watching game video. He probably started that in high school, I'm sure, with his dad the way he was. But being able to do that for a job and then getting the satisfaction of seeing someone like Zach run out on Sunday for the Jets, struggle through some parts of the game, but come through in the end and lead them on a game-winning drive. That's got to be very satisfying for John to see that from all the fruits of his work and all the fruits of Zach's work. So I really appreciated that commentary from him.
All right. That's our segment with John. Fantastic stuff. It was brought to you by RoyalArmyBrand.com, BYU swag crew to buy fans for fans. Stay loyal to the Royal. Rep the Y the right way. Purchase all your BYU licensed apparel at RoyalArmyBrand.com. Get the Blackout Collection. You can order today. Get it within 2 days. You can expedite shipping if you need to. A lot of BYU fans getting blacked out for the BYU-Notre Dame game. They're in Vegas. So get the best BYU licensed apparel in the business at RoyalArmyBrand.com. We'll go to break. College football. What's happening in college football right now? Matt Brown will join us and discuss why is it that college football coaches are getting fired midseason. And also, what's the future of the Pac-12 look like? Per Dennis Dodd of CBS Sports, he declared that the Big Ten will possibly be expanding 4 teams. We'll be taking on Oregon, UW, Cal, and Stanford. And the 4 corner schools will be heading to the Big 12, leaving Washington State and Oregon State to be relegated to the Mountain West Conference. Does he see that happening as well? Matt Brown coming up next. This is Cougar Sports on ESPN 960.